We're continuing our series on Hakdamos to interesting and or important Svarim. There are a few Svarim that are more important in Jewish history than the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. I'm doing them together because in the Hakdamah to the Shulchan Aruch, he writes a very brief Hakdamah because he relies on a lot of what he wrote in the Hakdamah to the Beis Yosef. The books were meant to be read together. They were meant to be study companions for each other, and therefore it's in a way it's one book. Bli Neder, in the future maybe we'll do the Darkei Moshe and Ramah Hakdamos, which is also interesting because he tells you why he thinks the Beis Yosef is wrong about a lot of the things he does in his style of learning and a lot of interesting history. The Beis Yosef is the monumental work that Rav Yosef Cairo worked on. Although Rav Yosef Cairo wrote a lot of books, the Magid Meisharim was his write-up of his Chavrusa with the Malach. He wrote Tshuvas, Shalos Tshuvas Afkas Rochel. He wrote obviously the Shulchan Aruch. The work that he took most seriously and that certainly he spent the most time on was the Beis Yosef. It took him 32 years to complete writing the Beis Yosef. He completed it in Tzfat in the year Shin Zayin, when he finally began to publish the Beis Yosef. Now, what I did in the outline, if you're following along the outline, is I put in parentheses things that he doesn't actually say in the Hakdamah are just my parenthetical notes. That's why they're in parentheses. And the stuff that he actually says is not in parentheses. He begins by talking about how Torah learning has taken a major hit since the days of Kabbalah Satorah and the days of the Nevi'im, and he describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this amazing gift called Torah, and that was our way to be Motzichein Be'inav and to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rabbi Kamenetsky was just saying, to like to get into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brain, so to speak, this phenomenal gift. But because we suffered so many tzaros, and we went from Galus to Galus, thank you, we suffered so many tzaros, and when we went from Galus to Galus, so Klal Yisrael couldn't withstand suffering all those sorrows without a major loss of chachma. We think even in just a couple of generations ago, when we had probably the greatest tzar in the history of Klal Yisrael, the Holocaust, how much, aside from how many lives were lost, which obviously is mind-boggling, something we can't ever wrap our minds around, how much chachma was lost, how much Torah was lost, not just that Talmidei Chacham were lost, but our ability to ask those Talmidei Chacham, our ability to learn from them, our ability to get shimush from them, all of that was gone. It's as if there's a major link missing in our Mesorah. And that's what happens when you go from Galus. You know, someone was just asking me recently about the different minhagim by Birchas Kohanim, of the different tunes to sing. So an argument, thank God it's not a fight because they're all nice people, but a major argument, I'll call it, between the Kohanim and my shul. Half of them want to sing one niggin, the other half want to sing another niggin. So I've been in shuls where everyone just sings their own niggin and they're not singing the same niggin at all during Birchas Kohanim. But I told them they're not allowed to do that. Whatever they do, they got to sing the same niggin. And where was I going with this? Yeah, so I was trying to find which one was more authentic. So everyone claims that their niggin was the one that was sung in the Beis HaMikdash. They're all convinced that their niggin was the one that was sung in the Beis HaMikdash. If you look for what's most authentic. Now, in reality, probably the Teimanim have the one that was sung in the Beis HaMikdash because they weren't exiled nearly as much. Their niggin that they can trace back at least to the 16th century. And from then, they didn't do that much traveling around. You know, so probably they stayed in one place. But when Tzara Letzara, you go from one place to another, who knows how much church music is mixed in to the various nigunim of Birchas Kohanim or whatever else. You know, we don't know. We have so much of a loss of Mesorah. So the Beis Yosef laments, we have this tremendous loss of Chachma. And he says, so what happens? So everyone starts writing. Everyone has to publish a Sefer. When no one knows anything, everyone writes. So there's so many Svarim that are being published, and he says, you know, Chazal lament that the Torah should never be like Beis Toros. Beis Yosef has a Lashon, lo nasas haTorah kebeis Toros, el ketoros ein mispar. It's not Beis Toros anymore. Halavai it should be only Beis Toros. Now we have dozens of Toros. Everyone has their own monogamy. Everyone's doing their own things. Everyone's following their own Piskei Halacha, and they're all different from each other. And he says, very often the authors of these various Svarim, and he doesn't identify the Svarim at this point, but he says the authors of these Svarim really meant well. They wanted to do the right thing, but he says, first of all, a lot of times they just simply were ignorant. And also, sometimes they don't quote anything other than their own opinion. So when you read the Sefer, you get the impression that there's only one Shita out there. And you don't realize that it's a five-way Machlokas Rishonim, and the one opinion that they quote is the opinion that's not accepted. That's the opinion that that no one else really accepts the Halacha. That when you learn such a Sefer, you're never going to actually know what the real Halacha is. You get the impression that it's a no-brainer, that this is the only way to think, it's the only way to hold. And that's the problem today. It's very prophetic in terms of, I guess, history repeats itself. A lot of the Svarim, a lot of the kids of Svarim today, you know, where does the world of Chumrah come from? You know, the amount of unreasonable Chumrahs that people have is because a lot of times you read from the kids of Svarim, and if you only know how to read English and you don't know how to read all the Hebrew footnotes where the kulas appear, so you think, oh, there's only one opinion. Everything is Asr. That's the only opinion that exists. But a lot of times, the everything is Asr is not the accepted opinion. Sometimes there are other opinions that are much, much more widely accepted. And 30 says the problem is, there's a lot of repetition. A lot of people are writing the same books. You know, how many, and again, we have this nowadays also. How many books about the halachos of X do you need? Whatever the halachos are. It's just the same book. It's being published over and over again. Each one has their own little knesh. They have their own little twist. You know, they have one new halacha that the other one didn't think of. But it's so much repetition, so how do you even know what to read, what not to read? So, obviously, the reason he's describing this problem is because he believes his book is going to solve this problem. But he says there's another problem. He says the other problem is, let's say you actually really do want to learn halacha. A halachic shaila comes up, so you want to know what to do. So he says it's very, very difficult, because the first thing you need to do is you need to know where the Gemara is that talks about it. Because the idea of learning a halacha just by you know, having someone tell you from some kitzur book or whatever what the halacha is, that's, you're never going to know anything. So you need to obviously learn through the sugya. So the first thing you need to know is, you need to know where the Gemara is. So as someone pointed out to me yesterday, you want to learn the halachos of Kiddush. So you're going to say, I'll go through the entire Masechah Shabbos till I find the halachos of Kiddush. And you will not find the halachos of Kiddush until you hit the 10th parak of Maseches Psachim. You need to know, it's a Zachar v'Shamar, you need to know the value of that. You need to hit Brachos Tav Chaf, you need to hit Shavuos Tav Chaf. There's so many different halachos that are scattered all over Shas. Divrei Torah, Aniyim b'makom Echer, Ashirim b'makom Echer. You can learn all of Hilchos Gittin and not know every. You can learn all of Maseches Gittin and not know all of Hilchos Gittin. So you're not going to know where the Gemaras are unless you happen to be a Baki in Shas. So it's not always easy to know where to even find the Gemaras. And he says, okay, so we do have helpers along the way. The Magid Mishnah, he says, is very helpful. When you read through the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah will tell you. The Rambam never tells you where the Gemara is. The Magid Mishnah, a lot of times, will tell you where the Gemara is. He doesn't mention at this point how helpful the Kesef Mishnah is, because he's obviously the author of the Kesef Mishnah. But he says the Magid Mishnah is very helpful. But he says if the Rambam didn't have that girsa where it doesn't appear in the Rambam's version of the Gemara, you're done. Then the Magid Mishnah is not going to talk about it. So he says another helpful sefer in terms of finding the Maror Makobos is Rabbeinu Yeruchim. But he says Rabbeinu Yeruchim sometimes doesn't really quote enough. He just quotes bits and pieces of the discussion, so the sugya really appears in four different places. He'll only quote one of the places, and you're not going to really understand anyway. So he says that's a second challenge. Again, challenge number one is that there's just this breakdown of chacham in general. Challenge number two is if a person is motivated to try to learn a halacha, he won't even know where to begin, where to find it. And he says, and then when a person finds the sugya, then the next step is to learn the Gemara, Rashi, Tosos, Rif, Rush, Ran, Mordechai, and then you turn to the Rambam and the other poskim, and that's how you go through a sugya in order to arrive at a halacha, at a halacha conclusion. Not everyone has the time to be able to do that every time a shaila comes up. Shailas come up every 3 seconds. So it's going to be very hard to learn through sugyas like that every 3 seconds and really go through it, the iyun on your own, and really figure it out. And that's all if you want to find a single halacha. What if you actually want to be a Talmud Chacham? And you want to know everything, you want to know all of halacha, so then you can have a real challenge, because then you have to go through all of Shas that way. And you may make it, you may set yourself on a program where you'll be able to go through all of Shas that way, but by the time you get to the end of the first round, you'll have forgotten, you know, 3/4 of what you learned to that point. You know, like you have a Daf Yomi schedule. I'm learning Daf Yomi. I've been learning Daf Yomi for a while. So we're almost there. We're almost at the Sima Shas. Unfortunately, you know, there are lots of Gemaras along the way that have gone in one ear, out the other, and yes, thank God it went through, but, you know, how much do we actually remember? So that's a major challenge if you actually want to be a Talmud Chacham. Well, we have human limitations of shikha, of forgetfulness. And again, keep in mind as he describes these daunting problems, that the reason he's writing about these problems is that he thinks his book will solve all of these problems. That's an interesting thing about Hakdamos, is what people envision their book being, and what it actually, even the most important books, we'll see with the Shulchan Aruch, what he envisioned it being and what it actually became are totally different from each other. So and he says, okay, so there are some books on the market, but they all have problems. He says you can look at the Smak, the Ogre, the Kolbo. They're all Kitzer books, and they're very good Kitzer books. But he says Kitzer books aren't good because Kitzer books will never tell you what the underpinnings of the halacha are, what the basis of the halacha is. They're just going to tell you what the halacha is. And he says the Ogre in particular very often quotes Lashon of the Tur and doesn't explain it at all, so you won't understand anything more than just reading the Tur. You're not going to understand anything. And he says also he falls in the same problem of quoting the same opinion. He picks on the Ogre for some reason. I'm not sure why in his Hakdama. He says, I don't know, maybe that's why it's not so widely learned nowadays, I guess, except for when the Beis Yosef quotes it. But he says, you know, a lot of times he'll quote the Tur, or he'll quote a Shita, and he won't quote anything about it, just quote it as a Stam. But if you look in the original source, the Das Yachid that he's quoting actually says, I'm a Das Yachid, and Yesh L'gam Gimbo, and there's reason to disagree with me. And he doesn't quote any of that. He just quotes the Shita. And he says, that's terrible. And he gives an example. I didn't understand the example. I wasn't going to look through something about a Galgal Shalmayim with some mill run by with water and a wheel. I'm not sure exactly what it was about. But he says such an example of where the Ogre quotes from an earlier source, and he doesn't quote the problems with the source. So Beis Yosef says, so I'm here to save the day. My book is going to accomplish the following. I'm going to write a book that's going to give you a clear path that will take away all the rocks in the road toward achieving mastery of halacha. And the way it's going to work is I'm going to start with the earliest source. I'm going to start with the Gemara. I'll identify what the earliest source is, whether it's Sifri, Sifra, Yerushalmi, Bavli, whatever, Mechilta. I'll identify the earliest source, and I'll start with an analysis from that source, take you through the Rishonim, analyze the relative strengths and weaknesses of the various arguments of the Rishonim, and then lead you through to a Psak Halacha. He said, you know, I could have written a book and just left it at that as my book, but I decided it would be better to attach it to a pre-existing book. It would be better to it's not really a commentary on anything. You know, he wrote it next to the Tur, but it's not really, most of the book is not really describing what the Tur holds. Most of it is describing the sugya. So he said, I really could have attached it to another book. And he said, my first thought was to attach it to the Rambam. No surprise, we know of Yosef Karo's commitment to the Rambam. So he says, my first thought was to attach it to the Rambam. But the problem is that even though the Rambam is the most famous, the Rambam only quotes one opinion, which leaves me with too much work to do. I got to do too much on my own. The Torah quotes sometimes several opinions, so it leaves me with a little bit less work to do because he quotes a few opinions, so I'll just be mashlim the rest of the picture. So he said, I decided to go with the Torah. So he says, the way I work is as follows. First and foremost, find the source of the halacha. Then discuss whether it's a halacha that's muskam or it's a machlokas amongst later shitas. Then I try to bring the logic for each of the opinions and to show why each one doesn't like the other opinion. Then I try to work on the Rambam. So the Rambam gets its own section. I try to work on the Rambam to explain, usually using the Magen Mishnah and the Ran, but he says sometimes I find that the Magen Mishnah and the Ran are incorrect, and that's when I give my own pshat, and you know, you choose, you look at the Magen Mishnah, you look at me, you see which one you like better, you'll see that I'm right, and you'll choose you'll have the wisdom to make the right choice. But usually using the Magen Mishnah and the Ran to explain the Rambam, and then I'll try to answer all the kashas that the Torah may ask on somebody, and then, in addition to that, I'm going to bring all the halachos that the Torah left out. The Torah is a pretty short book, so he skipped a few things. So I'll try to bring you all the halachos that he left out. Then Beis Yosef says, so how do I arrive at a conclusion? So he says, I have a methodology of arriving at a conclusion. First of all, he says, I'll tell you which books I read. The books that I read to arrive at a conclusion are Gemara, Rashi, Tosos, Ran, Piskei Arif, Rush, Mordechai, Rambam, Magen Mishnah, Rabbein Yeruchim, Sefer Truma, Shibalei Leket, Rokeach, Shari Dura, Tashbetz, Itur, Nimukei Yosef, Smag, Orchus Chaim, Torah Sabai, Sagos, Hashri, Sefer Amanug, Agur, Sefer Balei Nefesh, Arayvid, Chuvus HaRash, Rashba Rivash, Rabbein Shimshon Bar Tzemach, the Rash Beitz, Mari Kolon, Truma Sadeshen. That's my major books that I use. In the new edition, the Machon Yerushalayim edition of the Beis Yosef, it says, that's really only a partial list. And it gives like another 50 or so books that he uses all the time to arrive at his conclusions. It says, that's what I look at. That's what I'm interested in. You know, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, you know, for one man to read all of that and incorporate all of it. But, you know, you go through a tshuva and Yabia Omer, let's say. That's nothing. I mean, that's the first paragraph. You know, like, there are people that have the style of not limiting themselves and just using everything. He makes it very clear he doesn't use everything. There are certain primary books that are his go-to books that he likes to use and that he thinks play a unique role in the development of halacha and have a say in the development of halacha. Not every book, Rav Shechter always likes to say, not every book written by a Rishon, by a person who lived in the Tkufas HaRishonim, should have a say in the development of halacha. Not just like there are Amoratim nowadays, and there are Amoratim that publish Svarim nowadays. There were Amoratim in the times of the Rishonim that published Svarim and that write things that don't make any sense. So not every book written in the Tkufas HaRishonim necessarily has the means the same thing as a Ktsos means. You know, just because a Ktsos is an Akron. No, it doesn't work that way. So he said, I limit myself to these books. And he says, you shouldn't be choshed. Usually the Rush and the Mordechai and the Smag and the Smak and the Sefer HaTrumah and the Agos Maimon all follow the Shittas of the Balei HaTosfos. So a lot of times I won't quote all of them, because I'll just quote what the Balei HaTosfos is saying. You should know the Ashkenazi Rishonim just line up like a bunch of ducks in a row, and they just follow what the Balei HaTosfos say, so I'm not going to bother myself to explain all of their different Shittas. So don't be choshed that I didn't read them. I did read them, but they just very often just say what the Balei HaTosfos says. And he says, also, I'm aware that a lot of times I quote the Tshuvas HaRamban in the Beis Yosef, and I'm aware that it wasn't written by the Ramban, it was written by the Rashba, and someone mislabeled it as Tshuvas HaRamban. He says, but you know, if I quote the Tshuvas HaRashba, people are going to look on their shelves at the Tshuvas HaRashba, they're not going to find it. So I got to write what the book says on its cover. But don't worry, I know what it's who really wrote it. I don't know why he was very worried about that. And he says there were also a lot of typos in the tour that I spent a lot of time fixing. Now, how do I arrive at a maskana lahalacha? So the Chida in the Shema Gedolim, Erech Beis Yosef, says that this methodology, even though it's very controversial, the Ramah gets very upset about this methodology, the methodology that he's about to describe of arriving at a psak, the Chida writes that the Beis Yosef had 200 rabbis agree to this methodology, and therefore the Chida writes, Kol mi sheyasa kemaran, hareu kilu asa kemasayim rabbanim. You're not following the Beis Yosef when you follow Maran Beit Yosef, you're following 200 great rabbis, the 200 Gedolei Yisrael. He doesn't identify who they are. So he says, when arriving at a Pesach Halacha, I can't take everybody into account. I can't give everybody a vote in arriving at a Pesach Halacha, because I'm going to get involved in discussing whose Svar is better, whether the Ran Svar is better or the Ritva Svar is better. They're both way above me. I don't want to be Machnes Roshi Ben Shnei Harim Gedolim and deal with that. He says, Halavai, I should be able to understand everything I say. So, famous line of the Beis Yosef, he writes, the way I arrive at a Pesach Halacha is I look at the three big ones. The Rif, the Rambam, the Rash, I take the majority opinion with some rare exceptions when everybody disagrees and with the majority opinion and the custom has become otherwise, but for the most part, he says, I try not to break this rule. The Ramah, in his introduction to Darkei Moshe, points out a couple of places where the Beis Yosef does break this rule. There are a few places where, and he admits that he breaks the rule in certain places, but as a general rule, Rif Rambam Rash, he wants to paskin like the majority of opinion. He says, what do I do if one of them doesn't comment and you have a machlokas between the other two? Let's say the Rif doesn't say anything, you have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rash. He says, then I turn to the second tier, to the Ramban, Rash, Baran, Mordechai, Smag. That's my second tier of Gedolim that I'll look at, and they'll be able to cast the deciding vote. What if none of the big three comment? He says, then I go with not just second tier, I bring third tier people in also. And then I'll bring all the different books in and try to arrive at some sort of conclusion. So he concludes his Hakdama by saying that, listen, if you live in a community where the minig is different than what I'm telling you to do, so certainly you should not listen to me. Particularly, he says, if the minig is to be machmir and I'm telling you to be mekel. If the minhag ha-makom, and wherever you happen to be, is to be machmir, and I'm telling you to be mekel, so he says, you have a chiyuv to be machmir, it's a mishnah misachas psachim, that, you know, ha-holich from mimakom le-makom, you have to take upon yourself the chumras of the makom, shalach misham, shalach lisham, you have to take upon yourself the chumras of wherever you go, so certainly, you have to be machmir. I'm not telling you that you always have to follow what I say. What he doesn't say is, if you live in a community where the minhag is to be mekel, not to listen to his chumras. Sounds like he holds that you should listen to his chumras. Whatever he's machmir, he says, that's really correct. He says, another improvement I made, just to the Sefer HaTur, he writes, is that the maftechos of the Torah were very hard to find anything in, so he wrote better maftechos. And he says, I think this Beis Yosef is a good book because it's very good for Talmidei Chachamim, obviously. People who want to really learn through a sugya, get through beginning to end what the real halacha is with a proper analysis, with just clear, cogent thinking, without too much disruption or outside issues messing it up. Just clear, Aleph Beis Gimel going through sugya, step out, shlav achar shlav. He thinks that it's very, very good for Talmidei Chachamim. He says also it trains Bachrim in how to learn. If you want to know how to learn, you sit and you read a Beis Yosef. They say, Ravad Yosef writes in one of his tshuvas that when the Chazanish was young, they used to make fun of him in yeshiva, because he would sit there learning Gemara Rashi tells us Rosh Ran Tor Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch. He would go through, you know, step after step, using the Beis Yosef as his primary sefer to learn Bi'iyun. And everyone used to make fun of him. What kind of London are you going to be? That's how you learn Bi'iyun. You learn the Beis Yosef. And Rav Avadya Yosef writes that everyone else became everybody else, and the Chazanish became the Chazanish. So we see who's right in the end of the day. That it just teaches you how to think clearly, just how to organize the shitos, and how to think clearly. So even if you're not a major Talmud Chacham, it's just very good in terms of just training yourself how to approach a sugya. And he says, and even if you can't understand the entire sugya, and you just want to use the Beis Yosef as a way to understand what the Torah is saying, because the Torah is a much easier book to read, so use bits and pieces of the Beis Yosef. Maybe it's good for you too, even if you're not neither a Talmud Chacham nor a Yeshiva Bachar trying to develop a Mahalich in learning. He says, I think it could still be valuable. Fine. Why does he call it the Sefer Beis Yosef? So he says, just like the house of Yosef HaTzadik provided everybody with their physical sustenance, my book is going to provide everybody with their spiritual sustenance. So I am here to support the world the way Yosef HaTzadik supported the world. You have to realize, Rav Yosef Kairo was the pretty much undisputed Gadol Hador of his time. He was widely recognized the Gadol Hador. It's not so much arrogance as much as it is a statement of fact, you know, that this book is going to revolutionize learning. And it did. It changed the entire way that people learned halacha. It gave people guidance in how to learn halacha. It's one of the most incredible works in our history. And he says, and the other reason is zechelki mikol amali. This is going to be my bias ba'olam hazeh and olam haba. You should also realize that Rav Yosef Kairo was a great kabbalist. He wasn't just a great posek. Very rare in Beis Yosef for him to quote to get involved in kabbalistic sources. When determining the halacha, he was the greatest kabbalist. He had a chavrus with a malach, whatever that means. I mean, he was someone who was obviously a great kabbalist, but his derech in psak halacha. Someone was just telling me yesterday that Rav Nevensal learns a lot of Zohar in his spare time, you know, when he's not in public. You look at how Rav Nevensal paskins halacha. It's mamish as straight up psak halacha as you can imagine. Just mamish straight with all the pashta sources, the simple. Sometimes that's the greatest raya of who the real deal is and who the fakers are. When the halacha stays the halacha, and okay. Anyway, so that's the Beis Yosef. So in his tshuvas, he writes how proud he was of the sefer that he wrote. In his tshuvas Beis Yosef Simen Yud Gimel in Dine Gittin VeKiddushin, he writes. He writes about a certain rabbi who said something he didn't like. He said, if only that rabbi would have read the great book, the Beis Yosef, he would have found that this whole sugi is clarified. And he wouldn't have messed up the Psak Halacha so badly. And you always have to be careful to do proper research in a halachic topic. And most important, you need to read Beis Yosef on any halachic topic. Everything is all set to be had in the Beis Yosef. That any posek who's fluent in the Beis Yosef will be able to talk and learning with anybody, will never have to be embarrassed, because you'll know the whole sugya at the tip of your tongue. Ki imlo yasekein chas v'chalila al zeh nemar shigas talmud ol zadon. And if you don't do it, you're going to pay the price. You're not going to be a talmud chacham. So he was pretty convinced that he wrote a pretty good book. In fact, in Magid Meisharim, in Parshas Bo and Parshas Vayakel, the Magid Meisharim, the write up of his chavrusa with the Malach, he writes that the Malach protected him from making any mistakes in Beis Yosef, and that's why there are no mistakes in the Beis Yosef. Even the Rama, who clearly, as we'll see next time, I guess, criticizes the Beis Yosef. The Ramah in his Tshuvas and Simon Memches writes, Nasi Elokim Atah B'Socheinu, referring to Rav Yosef Kairo, he's a Nasi Elokim Asher Meimav Anu Shosim, and he writes, Chalilu Lahamros Divrei Malos Kvotaroso Demar B'Kol Acholik Alav K'Cholik Al Ashchina. He says, you can't question the Beis Yosef in a certain sense, because arguing with the Beis Yosef is like arguing with the Shechina, that he had this incredible Siyata Deshmaya in putting the safer together, and it has to be dealt with, it has to be respected. Prima Gadim in Yaradeya Simon Memches in the Sif Seidasiv Katan Chafei writes, Halo Noda Shechiburo al pi Ruach HaKodesh Chiber Bilti Safek. Prima Gadim says, I have no doubt that the Sefer Beis Yosef was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Again, whatever that means, it was written with Ruach HaKodesh. The Tumim, Rabbi Yonis Neibshitz, writes in his Tumim in Chosha Mishpat, Simen Chavei, Umi lanu gadol me rabbeinu mari kairozal, asher mamish mime rabba v'rav Yosef, lo kam ki Yosef hazeh sinai v'okar arim, zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Referring to the famous machlokas that the Gemara has, which one mi adif, who's better, Sinai or an okar harim? So the Gemara says, there's Rabba and Rav Yosef. One was the Sinai, Rav Yosef was the Sinai, I think. Rabba was the okar harim, right? That's correct. Rav Yosef was the Sinai, Rabba was the okar harim. And so says the Tumim, it's not just mi Yosef ad Yosef, lo kam ki Yosef. That from Rav Yosef's time to the days of Rav Yosef Cairo, there wasn't another Yosef. Mi Yosef ad Yosef lo kam ki Yosef v'rabba. He was like both of them. He was as good. He was a Sinai and an Oker Harim. He knew everything. He was unbelievable. And the Chidah writes an unbelievable story. This is wild. The Chidah writes, this is all in the introduction to the Machon Yerushalayim edition of the Beis Yosef. I didn't happen to shake out Prima Gadims and Tumims on my own. This is from the Machon Yerushalayim. The Chidah writes, Kasher hofia hasefer beit. This is the not the lashon of the Chidah. This is the lashon of the Machon Yerushalayim introduction. Kasher hofia hasefer beis Yosef. When the Beis Yosef first came out, I forgot who it is already. Gozer al talmidav. One of the great rabbanim was gozer on his talmidim shlo yilmudubo, that they better not learn it. It was like when art school came out. That all the rebbeim were screaming at the talmidim, don't learn, don't look at the art school. No art school is allowed in this yeshiva, in this classroom, whatever. So with good reason, but you know, it's for the right time and for the right places. But anyway, so he said, gozer al talmidav shlo yilmudubo. They were gozer. One of the gedolim was gozer on his talmidim. They shouldn't learn the Beis Yosef. Why? Because he was going to put him out of business. Because he thought it would be memayit habikius. People have to actually know something now. Now everything is right there for them. Miyad achar kach ira davar mashuna. And then something strange happened. Ad oz hayalomid im talmidav b'sefer atur. Umatzvi al makoros kol din v'din. It used to be that this gadol would learn Torah with his talmidim, and by every halacha he would tell you all the makoros, like, you know, he was brilliant. He'd tell you all the gemaras, all the rishonim, he was able to spit them all out. His memory was perfect. He never forgot anything. So as soon as he made this gezera, no one's allowed to learn Beis Yosef. All of a sudden, he forgot. He started forgetting halachas and where the sources of the halachas are. And he wasn't even able to find them after research. He said, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's paskening by making my memory faulty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's paskening that you're supposed to read Beis Yosef. So go and learn Beis Yosef. Miyad matzu bo makara halacha vihita lem ha-gzeira. And they opened up a Beis Yosef and they found the source of the halacha that he didn't remember on his own. The gzeira was then over. He then said, you're allowed to bring the Beis Yosef in. You're allowed to learn the Beis Yosef. Nahakdamat to Shulchan Aruch, which was written after the Beis Yosef, obviously. The Shulchan Aruch he finished writing the Shulchan Aruch 9 years after finishing writing the Beis Yosef, or 8 years after finishing writing the Beis Yosef, and then spent the 8 years completing the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning he finished Aruch Chaim 8 years after the Beis Yosef, and then spent 8 years finishing Yerdei Chosh Mishpat Eben Ezer. In the year Shin Chafei, he finally finished Shulchan Aruch. So in the Hakdamah to the Shulchan Aruch, he first reviews how successful the Beis Yosef has been. And he says, you know what, thank God, it's been widely accepted, everyone's using it. Now people, Baruch Hashem, are going to know how to learn Halacha. And he says, but there's a need for a Kitzur book. You know, Beis Yosef is still very long. There's a need for a Kitzur book that will be much shorter. And listen to how he envisions the Shulchan Aruch being used. He says, there's an amazing thing I did with the Shulchan Aruch, he says, is I put it in such a, I made it so short that you could easily break it down into 30 equal parts. And this way you could chazer all of Shulchan Aruch every month. That's the point of the book. You learn Beis Yosef, you learn through all the sugyas with the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch, this way you'll be able to chazer in your mind the main points. You know, it's like I do with my high school Talmidim and Gemara. I have them write the main points of each Amud. So when you chazer over the main points of each Amud, you'll remember, hopefully, the other Gemaras in between. You just get the main points. So hopefully, every 30 days, every month, everyone will be able to chazer all of Shulchan Aruch. I don't know how many Jews in history were successful in doing that. Probably Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Moshe. I don't know how many, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch is for, just to chazer every 30 days. So that was the Cliff Notes version of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, this way, kasher yishal Talmud Chacham dvar alacha lo yikam gimba, el yomer l'chach ma'achosiyat, kasher bar lo shachos v'asulo, kach yer bar lo kol din sheyishal lav alach l'maisa, b'yosu shogar b'piv. He says, this way, when someone asks you a shayla, Shulchan Aruch will always be right. You always have just learned it, because you always learned it within the last month. So you'll always be able to respond to it. Even if you can't necessarily rebuild the whole sugya that you need to look in Beis Yosef for, but at least you'll always be able to know the basic halacha, you'll always be able to respond to it. So he says, I think it's something, I'm writing this book so that people can chazer it every month. And he says it's also a good way for children to become familiar with halacha, that children aren't going to understand all the arguments in the Beis Yosef. They're not going to be able to go through the Gemara and the Rishonim or whatever. It's a very good book for children. The Shulchan Aruch was written as a very good book for people to learn, for adults to learn the entire thing every month, and for children to learn just to know some basic halachas will become their girsa diankasa. It will be something that they remember. They'll just be very familiar with the words. It says, and the reason I call the Shulchan Aruch is because it's so easy. It's just all laid out there for you. Any idiot could pick it up and could understand what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. It's written for Talmid Chacham, for Amaratzim, Talmid Chacham for Chazara, for Amaratzim to just know basics. So it's written for anybody and everybody, and that's why it's called Shulchan Aruch. Kishulchan Aruch lefanecha. It's as if it's a set table in front of you that it's there for the taking. Okay, that's the Akdama to the Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch. I finished a little early. We'll be able to try to do Parsha here and see if we get thrown out. I don't know if anyone needs to go though.